we'll go ahead and get started tonight. I appreciate everybody being here that's here. Welcome to the Daniel Town Council meeting for Monday, April the 3rd, 2023 at 6 o'clock p.m. Wasatch County Service Building, Conference Room B. We'd like to excuse Barry Dixon tonight. And we'll go ahead and get started with agenda item number one, public comment. Do we have any public comment this evening?
Turn the snow off.
Wrong meeting.
Okay, let's, we'll go ahead then and go to agenda item number two. And agenda item number two is a discussion about the recommendation from the Planning Commission for a public hearing to consider a zone change on the Ellis subdivision, parcel numbers 20-2403 and 20-4525. The approximate address is Highway 189 and 3000 South. And the discussion will be about changing that from an RA5 to commercial. And Gary, we're going to turn some time over to you to talk about this agenda item number two. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the applicant requested changing that zone to partially, one parcel to commercial, basically. I mean, it's not exactly on parcel lines. And part of it to industrial. And the Planning Commission's recommendation was to change the whole thing to commercial and not do industrial. There were some concerns about some of the things that could go in if it is industrial, that they didn't feel were compatible. And so that was the recommendation, is that we change the zone to commercial for the entire parcel, or both parcels.
Okay. Anything else that you want to talk to us about?
On this one, no. I do have another.
We'll come to that after this one. So, go ahead.
Question: what's the difference with the industrial? What could the other things go in that?
Well, there are lots of things that can go in if it's industrial. I think the reason they wanted industrial is to put storage units there.
And that's industrial for storage units?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, you can do it in commercial under some conditions, but it's, I guess, easier to do in industrial.
Thank you.
Mick, saw your name.
Mick, there. When?
He just bought the point that's a pull up.
Yeah, I was helping him get it, your attention.
Okay. Any discussion from the council members?
Well, one comment I would like to make is that this is a request for a zone change. I don't think the Planning Commission is making any recommendation at this point about a concept plan. You haven't accepted or voted on any of that.
No, we've seen a concept plan just as ideas for the zone change, and I'm sure the council will see them before they make a decision. But no, there has been no approval of a concept or anything else. This is solely to change the zone.
So the owner has presented an idea about what they might like to do, but the town has not made any commitment or anything else. We're just really looking at whether we'd like to do the zone change. And then we would be thinking about, the plan that would be accepted.
Unless the zone's changed, there's no reason to build into the plan. But it does help us get some ideas of what could happen to help us decide whether we should do it or not.
So, our code kind of says we're supposed to look at zone changes once a year, right? And I think we're setting precedence by looking at this outside of that. And maybe that's okay, but that is a concern to me that we are doing that. We voted on that, I think, last time or maybe the time before. In terms of this zone change, I've talked to several residents that don't want it, and I haven't talked to any outside of this room that do want it, and they're asking me, why are we even putting this on the agenda? Why are we even having a public hearing to discuss this with the potential costs that could come to the town from things they're nervous about? So I would maybe suggest we don't consider it.
I'm saying that's the purpose of the public hearing, is so that those people can make their thoughts known, and others can make their thoughts known in a public forum where it's not just, you know, one person talking or hearsay. So, I mean, just because we have a public hearing doesn't mean that it has to be approved.
Absolutely.
The Planning Commission has looked at it. We're making a recommendation to the council to look at this zone change.
My response to that, John, would be that we have an application for a zone change, and the council did vote to go ahead and consider that application. So once we started that process, I think that we're kind of committed to finishing it.
Well, we can agree to disagree.
Well, we can, but that would be my response to that.
We'll go with Joan.
And I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't this the one that was, we changed years back to commercial, and then it didn't couldn't do anything with it, and it reverted back to the 5 acre? That was the one? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's the property.
And that was commercial that we zoned at originally, and then mm-hmm. it reverted back, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Didn't that have some storage units on it? When they did a concept on that?
I think it did.
I thought I remember some kind of storage, you know, they had some.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but they had some.
They had some, and they were gonna have climate controlled.
For the clients that are renting.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there, right?
Yeah, never mind. Okay.
The property literally is 89 and 3,000.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know what. It's hard when you look at that plat number and whatever, but it's that. Yeah. It's exactly that.
Okay. Yeah. How far down the road do you go with this concept and so forth before we have an opportunity as a public to speak?
So once
it's on, if you table it right now to say if you're going to go tell whatever your annual time is, then when that comes up, then prior to what point would we then be?
Yeah, once a year deal.
I guess what I'm saying is, how far does the council go before that public comment? Is it before you, I'm sure you talk about it a lot, but then definitely not, you're not gonna vote on a recommendation before the public has it. A chance to speak.
No, we wouldn't do that. Yeah. No, we have to have a public hearing.
And planning's already held a public hearing. Mm-hmm. That was advertised and people were notified. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of that process. Yeah,
this would be a second public hearing on that same property.
So we just do a bad job on those notifications. I get it. We do what we're supposed to do.
I know. Within 500 feet.
I'm not blaming anybody in particular, right? But the word still just does not get out. I don't know what we do different.
So if we did it, like you said, the zoning would be once a year. So when would we pick that day? When would you pick that date? And of course, everything else would be looked at up until that date, and if everything is set, then that date that those zones
So I thought applications are due in July, and then we have till November to consider it. Is that it, Eric?
You have to act on it in November.
Yeah, something like that. But a month or two ago, these guys voted to consider it now. I posted.
That's correct.
Yeah, if it was, well, it's tough to do it every month or two, but at least once a year, if not, maybe twice a year. You know, maybe people get stuff done during the winter to get things before the council, and then come what may, you have one then, and then maybe you want it in November time. I don't know, just a thought.
So I'm going to say something, whether it's good or bad. I'm going to talk for just a minute. About 2 years ago, I started coming to the Town of Daniel meetings in preparation to run for mayor and to kind of get a feel for what's going on.
To be the whipping boy.
Well, however you see it, that's all right. But in those meetings, clear back then, there's been discussion almost on a monthly basis about commercial zoning and commercial property in the Town of Daniel. I remember here about a year ago, maybe less, Kim Norris was here in a meeting, and Kim Norris talked about how while he was on the Planning Commission and while he served and others served, that they had talked about commercial property being on 189 and 40. And so for 2 years now, I've listened to conversations about commercial property in the Town of Daniel. And we've gone to the Planning Commission and asked the Planning Commission to review whatever documents the Town of Daniel has in regards to commercial property, okay? So this isn't something that we've just, you know, all of a sudden in 30 days we decide to throw on the agenda and talk about. There's been a discussion about what is the Town of Daniels willing to make commercial and provide opportunities for people to build in the Town of Daniel. And I'll be honest with you, I'm an RA5 man, and I like residential 5, I like space, but on the other hand too, I, as you're looking from the town's view of how do we generate some sales tax and how do we generate some income to help us pay for things, obviously we have to take commercial we have to look at commercial. And 189 and 40 is where it's been designated for years, and I realize that this has to be public noticed. It, and even if it's public notice, doesn't necessarily mean that we will go into a plan concept and approve a plan concept, but I've asked the Planning Commission to define commercial property in the Town of Daniel, and they've spent a few work meetings and a little bit of time discussing that, and this comes as a recommendation from, and I understand it's only once a year that we're supposed to do this, and I can't think of the last time. I know it hasn't happened for 2.5 years since I've been coming to these meetings, and I'm not saying that the town, you know, we public notice things to the town and we do our best to go out and talk to the town, and we have a meeting tonight and there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 of us here, but we work for the town. I will say that as long as I'm in this administration, is we serve the citizens of Daniel. Having said that, I personally have not gone out and visited too many homes and discussed this in too many homes with individuals. Do I think that needs to happen? Yes, I think that if this property gets zoned commercial, we schedule the public hearing and we spend the time going around and letting people know. Now, today, I'm just going to give you an example of my day today real quick. I got up at 5:30 this morning, fed my dogs, did my chores, got ready to go to work. At 7 o'clock, my phone started ringing. And I fielded 5 or 6 conversations this morning from citizens in the town that had heard that there was a public meeting tonight about a gas station going in on 3000 South and Highway 189. By 8 o'clock, I had taken 12 phone calls, and I just let people know that there was not a vote tonight on whether a gas station was going in on 3000 South and 189. And I assured them that there would not be a vote on that tonight because we're still in a concept phase of deciding if we're going to go commercial or not, which has been recommended by the Planning Commission and by half the town that I've talked to that realizes that there has to be some commercial somewhere in order to help subsidize property taxes. The town of Daniel doesn't have a lot of option. They either increase property taxes to get revenue, they increase the water bill, or we generate some taxes somewhere in commercial. Now, I know I'm doing a lot of talking, and but in a nutshell, in 2.5 years of coming to meetings and being the mayor, this is what I've observed. And I think that we have the ability as a town of Daniel to get what the town of Daniel wants and not do what the town of Daniel doesn't want. Unfortunately, in today's society, we have many things that are coming at us fast and furiously. We're doing our best to, control's not a good word, but basically control what is being allowed to come into the town of Daniel. This number two discussion that we're having about commercial zoning has been talked about for years. And the decision is do we make this commercial property that can help possibly generate an income to the town of Daniel? And it's not all about money. I want you to understand that. For me, it's not about having millions of dollars in the coffers, but it's about taking care of the roads without having to save for 3 years to fix the roads. It's about safety in the community, and I really don't think that I don't think that by making this property commercial that it sets ourselves up for anything other than a public hearing and going to the public and hearing the public. That is the next step. Do we do this and then we have the public hearing and that's what controls what goes on here?
Can we put in a gas station for the commercial?
Yes.
Necessarily
about it. Well, when you look at things that go in down there, you have to look at things that generate a sales tax, and storage sheds don't generate sales tax. We get nothing from sales tax off of storage sheds, but a gas station, a plumbing supply, a strip mall, a car lot, an electrical supply house, something that has sales that generate an income that we can get some tax base off of.
And that'd be a good place for it.
Well.
So, other than traffic.
Yeah, let's go with Gary.
I'm just, saying that people aren't aware, our general plan is for at least 12 years, and I think longer than that, has said that is our designated area for commercial, which we need to have some areas designated for commercial. We've held many public hearings about that, listened to the public for comment. We're doing the best we can. And, thank you for taking the calls from residents. But I guess I would disagree with going out and actually visiting residents, because you can't necessarily get a representative sample, and that's what the public meetings are for. And so I would definitely encourage people to come to the public meetings and let their comments be heard, rather than, a lot of people love to give you an earful, but they wouldn't do it in public because they don't want to be responsible for what they've said. And I think that's the whole idea of a public hearing, is you come, you give your opinion, you are responsible for what you've said in the public hearing. And I think people are a little more careful and maybe a little more thoughtful if they do come. And so rather than hearsay, or I've heard five people complain, we held the public hearing with the Planning Commission. We had no comments against the zone change.
So how many of you guys on the back row there knew about the public comment on the zone change for the planning meeting?
2 hours ago.
So the meeting that Gary's talking about, the public hearing.
I didn't know about that one at all.
So there you go. Right now, whose fault is that? Nobody's fault. The residents' faults. But it's the way it works. So people have not been coming because they don't know. Not because there's not interest.
It's because they don't care until somebody starts spreading rumors that something's going to happen. If you really cared, you would look and see what's going on each month. I look at the council agenda and say, is there anything interesting that I want to go for?
Or is there
something that I need to because of planning? And I think that's responsibility of every other citizen. I look at Heber cities. I look at the counties. Not as much as I should, but, otherwise, how many things happen at the county level or the school board level or anything else that we didn't know about? It's our own fault for not looking.
It is, but it's, we need to do a better job there somehow, because people are interested in this issue.
And we're better controlled than Heber City. We're at least in somewhat control of what's going on with our council and what's happening within our town. Better than Heber City. They're so totally out of control, they have no clue. There's too much going on. They can't possibly be.
Okay, Mick.
Do you ever put notices in the wave?
Every single time.
All these meetings.
Every single time.
They have to be noticed 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
They're on the Daniel website. They're on the Daniel Town page. They're in the paper. And quite frankly, I talk to a lot of people throughout the course of a month. Honestly, I know a lot of people. I don't talk to every one of them, but usually I get asked, what's going on this month? Is there anything that I need to know about? And I'll say, yeah, you should probably come to a meeting and find out what's going on. If I spend every day talking to the people I talk to for an hour, my day's short. I'm 10, 12 hours into it. And I shouldn't say it's short, but it's, what I'm saying. It's filled up. And I don't mind talking to people. I love talking to people And I really think that people need to know what's going on, but I'm of the opinion of how far do we have to go to, I mean, you can't spank people to come to a meeting. You can invite them, or you can put them in your car with you and bring them. But, I mean, at what point is our due diligence done, so to speak? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink. So.
I know, I think there are enough interested parties that you were right in one aspect. We need to organize ourselves outside the government issue, and when these things come out, make sure that people know. And in advance, let them, you know, have discussions ourselves so that when it comes time for the meeting, people are kind of aware of what's going on instead of.
More facts. Facts of what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like this meeting here, coming to this meeting and hearing what's going on, there's about half of what's been said is new, as I learned, you know, in this. And I think making that apparent to different people here that will come to these meetings when we know about something that's coming up, we might be able to organize ourselves in expanding the circle so we get more people here. That particularly, I'd like to see those people who, after it's all over, are the ones that complain the most, you know. So the idea is if you're going to complain, you have to be able to come and find out what could be part of the process to get there.
Exactly.
And today, when we got a call, we got a long conversation, and then later on we got a call back, and it was to tell us that there was not a public meeting tonight, that it was just the regular council meeting. So I decided to come just to see.
It is a public meeting.
It's always public, but
right.
It's not a public hearing.
It wasn't a public hearing.
Mayor, may I just for a second?
Sure.
We've tried to get this word out. This is the Utah Public Notice website. We're always required to put all of our meeting notices up there, everything that's happening. So what you'd need to do is go to pmn.utah.gov. I think that's correct, but if you Google Utah Public Notice, this will come up and you can go there. Once you get on that page, then it's a little bit complicated, I think. There's three different columns. There's an entity type. You would choose town. The entity that you want is Daniel. And then we have two bodies, town council or planning commission. So you click on that and it will pop up the notices that we're posting. You can subscribe to those, and I do, and I think most of us probably do, and then it comes directly to your email. Directly to your email, automatically. You'll get the notice as soon as Kim posts it. It will pop into your email, and it will have the agenda on there.
Swell. Thank you.
That's what's a little frustrating to me, is this is about the, fifth time we've said that in a public
meeting. We keep trying to get that word out.
No,
and some
we
people
have.
Are doing it. I don't know how many people.
No, we
though.
Have.
I come to the wrong meetings.
No, I'm just saying, like, we absolutely keep doing that.
Safe place to be.
So can we put this in the water bill this next time?
We could do that.
Water bill would be awesome.
Put that in the water bill. A little notice, just that if you know if you want.
Or even if you're having a meet like that, if we'd have got.
Well,
I guess we got it today though.
So I wouldn't.
That would have been too
late. I wouldn't want to put the notices themselves in the water bill because that's too much work. But we could
but
put this information
like this, like,
to just get it
more
to
information.
Email.
The water bills would get about half the town. Yep.
That would be a big.
That doesn't get everybody.
As long as we get it to Shelley early enough so that she can get that in the.
At least it starts.
Yeah. No. We could put that in the comment.
Mm-hmm. So on that. Go ahead.
But that's the easiest way to find out what's going on. And if you have a question, because sometimes in our agendas it's not clear what it means to you because you're not aware of, Kim can answer that question or one of us can answer that question. If we didn't know it, then we'll find out and get back.
But also the website.
On the website as well.
Time.
But they will still have questions. I know people have questions about things that are going on, and I don't always know the answer.
Well, and I do want to say that I don't think any of us think that it's your job to campaign for things or not, you know, to get the public aware, because the system is set up for for us to get involved and do that. And I think that we have more people than we realize that are interested in becoming involved, but not many of them can come on the same day. So
right.
we have to ourselves organize so that, oh, I forgot about it. Yeah, you told me about it 2 months ago, you know. And in that process, we need to get to where we communicate with each other.
Right. And don't
We're
forget.
So far away, we can't walk down to our neighbors.
Don't forget that once we approve the minutes from the past meeting, they get posted on the website too, and everyone can read those. They're open to the public, that's what they're for, and you can find out what's going on.
And the audio minutes are on the website within 3 days. So if you miss the meeting on Monday, by Thursday, you can listen to the meeting. They're always there.
I've talked way too much, but I'm gonna say one other thing, and then I'm gonna clam up for a while. But you'd be crazy to say that this zone change is not going to affect the town of Dan. I mean, but with what we're looking at right now with the airport expansion, with the UDOT changing 189, it's coming at us. And we're working our hardest to keep things shut down and out of here.
Keep a lid on it.
But it's, I mean, there comes a point where we're not going to be able to do a whole lot. And I mean, we're gonna fight it and we're gonna battle it. But you'd be crazy to sit in here and not think that zoning that commercial is not going to affect the traffic on 3000 South. But what UDOT and FAA and Heber City has planned that we're battling daily, that's coming at us hot and heavy too. So,
well, there are 300 units being built on Daniels Road. That's not going to affect 3000 South.
No,
people head to Provo, yeah.
Yeah, nobody's going to drive down Daniel Road from out of those apartments that they're building right now.
Those apartments bring in a population as big as the population.
Why do you think Heber City put that goofy roundabout in? So they wouldn't go back into Heber. So they got a straight shot coming out of down Daniel. So anyway, I'm on record saying that. I know that's all right.
I just didn't hear any colorful language with it.
Well, I've slicked up my language a little bit, Mick. Not much.
So that brings up just one more thing from a public point of view. Are we certain now the locations and what's going to happen with the bypass?
No.
So in that aspect of it, we're at a little bit of a disadvantage when we start talking about commercial and where it's going to be relative to what's going to happen there.
I don't really know that we're at a disadvantage, Mick, because just my opinion, 3000 South, the only thing that's going to happen to 3000 South eventually is they're going to try and widen it and force more traffic up. That's UDOT's plan. We sat in a meeting 4, 5, 6 months ago.
I was there.
And what did that guy tell you? We really don't care what you say.
Yeah.
We're going to do what we want to do and what we're going to do. I mean, that was what I read from that meeting. In farmer's terms, that's what that meant.
See, there's aspects of that that could very well just make what we're talking about tonight moot, because that whole corner there might be gone. And in that case,
that's not in any of the plans, though.
Well, I haven't heard that, but I haven't had anything that's given me any feeling that they can't just decide what they want to do as they go. The way they put it. So,
go ahead, Mick. Sorry.
Anyway, just making that point. We probably also need to consider if commercial is important that we don't just set something aside for commercial and then have it taken away from us, you know. And that could be, if it's from what I've read and the things that I've been to meetings and so forth, they don't have a clear picture. DOT doesn't have a clear picture of how they want to deal with this one end of the road, and as a result, either we have a lot of traffic coming up through Daniel, or they've got to figure out something else to do. And in that case, it's still going to affect us because we're the only open area that have, or area that has enough open space where they could actually move something through. What is going to happen, in my opinion, is it's going to be very, very, it's going to be maybe court involved because they're going to come up with ideas that are going to put all that traffic going to Daniel's Summit, either coming into town and still going through the line or coming right up from New York. And to go make something commercial, zone it, that's a fine example, but we better be very, very clear in terms of our planning to make sure that we just don't do that and then it's taken away from us by DOT, because that's a logical place there to make that connection.
It is, but also they could put a freeway through and not have any exits.
Yes,
so
that's right.
My opinion is if we're going to have a through route, we should have the same privilege that Heber and the other cities have and have a business district along it, and it should be 30 miles an hour and it should have lights every, you know, quarter mile or whatever
or
it is.
Or roundabouts.
Or roundabouts. I mean, if we're going to have all of the disadvantage, the town should have some advantages to it. So how do you plan? Planning Commission's been trying to hold public meetings for the general plan, for other plans. We really don't get any input. We'd love to know what the town wants to be, what it wants to look like, but you know, you can talk to people, but you only get a small portion of the opinions of the people in town.
We had two work sessions just this month for the Planning Commission, and we had one public member come there, open to the public, and we had one, and he was very engaged and a great guy, but we had one person come.
I came to one of them.
He's lived here for about 2 months.
No, oh, I'm saying the public.
Oh, like
we
I'm
had,
not that.
You're the public. You're the public too, but that was a joint meeting.
You're elected.
So can I say a couple things?
Absolutely.
Maybe three. I agree, Gary. I think local visits can sometimes be misleading, and we need to invite people to come to these public hearings. But I think a mixture helps. I think that we do have a pretty clear picture of what the town wants to be. I think we want agriculture, RE5. That's why people moved here. That's why we're here. There's not anybody in this room, I don't think, that can tell me how much money we would make off of zoning that corner commercial. And we have commercial zoning in the town right now where we get zero benefit.
Town gets zero right now.
Yeah, and we're doing okay. We're paying our bills, right? And so my point is, I think...
Maybe.
No, we're not. We're paying the bills, but we're not putting money aside. We're not planning for the future.
Okay, that's another discussion, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is.
Well,
it's part of this discussion.
I think there are, the point I'm trying to make is I think the residents of the town, and we'll hear this maybe in the public hearing, would rather increase fees in other places than changing our town by bringing commercial in. But that's a discussion for another time.
So the corner at 3,189, the southwest corner is already developed.
Okay, so can I finish, Mary?
I'm sorry, yes.
Okay. So by zoning this commercial, I don't know that there is a good reason besides hoping we get a sales tax, and we have no idea how much that sales tax would offset our costs. So we say that, bring in commercial, let's make it commercial, let's zone it that, we're gonna get all this money. And no one on this board or in this room can tell me how much money we'd make from that.
That discussion, and actually this discussion, should probably wait for the public hearing.
Maybe.
That's been noticed, and we have public here. I think the decision, and I'm speaking out of turn here, but the decision for the councilor is whether to schedule a public hearing or not. Not whether to rezone it or not. I mean, that's what the public hearing's for, is to get all of that input, for everyone to say what they think, for the council to say what they think and decide. And so I think it would really be best to schedule a public hearing and then do the discussion then.
Do you have anything else?
No, I'm good.
So I just want to say one thing while we're here too. I said I wouldn't, but I'm gonna. So I look at the town of Daniel, and I've lived here for 36 years. I personally know 80% of the town of Daniel. I can say that pretty safely. As I go around and as I talk to people, there are a vast majority of the people in Daniel that are on fixed incomes. So when we talk about making revenue elsewhere, we have two places to make revenue. And I know this is might be in the public hearing discussion, but you have water and you have property. That's what you got. So you take some of these individuals, and there's a lot more than what we think, that are on fixed incomes, and you raise their water bill $20 a month, and you raise their property taxes that are already killing them. I mean, $3,000 worth of sales tax is honestly more than, you know, what we're getting. But to go to those individuals and say, hey, we're gonna raise your water bill $20 a month, and we gotta increase your property taxes now because we gotta fix the roads, and we don't have enough road money to fix the roads. And by the way, the chlorinator went out on the pump, and you know, that just cost us $20,000, and so, you know, it's hard to go sell that to people that have X amount of dollars and can't change that. And so when we look at this, I mean, I am for open space. And why do you think everybody in this country is trying to get into Daniel right now? Because we have the open space, but it comes at a cost too at some point. And realistically, we have to look at that from the town outlook. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would be great if we had a public meeting and 934 people showed up to that meeting. Because the last time I looked, that's how many people live in the town of Daniel. It's probably a little more than that now because the census is old. But then you could make a vast decision. But when you're looking at it down the road, we don't have a whole lot of options, honestly. And I mean, I make a living building houses, but RA5 is why everybody wants to come here right now and why everybody is trying to get here. And there's a lot of people trying to get into the town of Daniel. So anyway, I've said way too much. So is there anybody else? Any other comments?
Just one maybe. Does anybody in here think in 20 years that field is gonna be there? Does everybody think it's gonna look like it does in 20 years? Anybody here?
No.
I'd like to think that it does.
I would too.
We've done a good job holding on as long as we have, but it's been really tough. A lot of people have worked really, really hard to keep it this way, and we can't do it forever. You know, like the mayor says, there's stuff coming at us fast and furious, and if we don't get on board and, well, if we don't lead the parade, we're gonna be walking behind cleaning up the poop, and that's the truth. And so we need to make some choices and decisions. And you know, it bothers me a bit when people complain about we're really bad at communication. This is a very difficult job. I'm more informed than most people about what's going on in the county, and it's almost a full-time job for me to do that. Eric knows what I'm talking about because he does the same thing. But, I mean, we don't just show up here one night a month and make a decision. That is not how this works. You have to put the time in. You have to be informed. You have to understand what's going on. And we have a lot of things that we have to deal with, things that the public doesn't know about. I'd love for people to show up and find out the issues that we have, aside from the communication factor, the issues that we have that we haven't dealt with that we need to. And, you know, I can do a better job, I can talk to more people, but nobody ever calls me.
Can I ask a question? Isn't this, and I'm just asking this, but isn't this the property that was RE5, then went commercial, and then was back? So at one point, this, and it was it both of those plats? So this entire property at one point was commercial, it just wasn't developed, and so it reverted? Was it, was it?
The council voted to revert it.
Okay, but because it wasn't developed. Okay, but it was, at one point, there was a zone change? Okay. I just want to make sure that I understood that.
And again, I mean, I want to say this one more time, even, we're not doing this tonight, obviously, but even if the council did vote to make this a commercial zone, we're not approving a gas station necessarily. That's one idea that could happen, but nobody is voting at this time for anything like that. So when it goes around, when the rumor goes around that a gas station is going in down there, that kind of worries me. That kind of bothers me, because that's a rumor.
We do have a developer who has a gas station on this plot.
Yeah.
It's a concept.
And that developer has been into this meeting twice.
It's a concept that we have approved.
He just walked in.
That's the most attractive concept out there. Because without that service station, you don't get the rest of the interest that occurs.
That's not necessarily true, but.
So far, everybody that we've talked with has the service station as being the, yeah.
It's okay, you're in time.
It would also be a big convenience for the members of our town.
It's because of that location and the thousands of vehicles that pass by there every single day. Why would not a service station be the most attractive?
It would also be a convenience for the residents of our town.
Convenience store / service station.
Scott?
Hi. So Joan was before you, and then we'll go to you.
I was just saying, all the legal things that come at the town council and the mayor, and to navigate through all that, and thank you, Eric. And just all of it, you know, it's a bunch of, it's a lot of work, and stuff gets hit that people don't understand. That you have to make a decision, you got to stay between the lines of all the legal issues, and there it goes.
So we're just looking for a motion on this, right?
Well, we're going to let Mick talk.
Okay.
Just another thought, that is, the likelihood of a gas station being the best thing with the bypass coming through there is logical, and that probably is. What I would not like to see is have something zoned and have things moving in that direction and something else come up, and then the road comes in and takes that out, and we don't have, and it's gone. So in that sense, that's the only concern I have. I think it's the most logical and probably the most lucrative for the, particularly if the traffic is all coming off of the road there. But the problem that I see is there's still a chance that they can maneuver wherever they want to maneuver where that road comes around through here.
Mick, if you've looked at the five alignments that currently UDOT is looking at, none of them will realign that corner. They will realign possibly of closing down portions of Highway 189 adjacent to the airport and routing traffic back up into Heber and then back to the south. But nothing that I saw, nothing that I've looked at, will basically change the outcome of the viability of that.
When we've been asking about it for the airport, they kind of waffle around a little bit as far as where they want to come into the road, whether it's out here in the about two-thirds of the way down the airport and then turn up 189. But then they, you know, it's a default in many cases. You know, what they're deciding to do is move traffic back through the intersection up here at the end of Main Street. That's what we're trying to get rid of, is that traffic that comes through there, you know. So trucks will come in and they will say, well, I've got to go through, you know, five blocks of residential before I can get to the, back to the road where I've got to go, and they'll just continue to come to me. And that's, so those are some of the issues. Back to that, I think what we're trying to do here is probably just what we need to do relative to the kind of industry that needs to go there as far as commercial. I'm just concerned about with all this stuff, and UDOT has had more changes to their program in the last session of it with the way they changed it from 2 years, 3 years ago. They have more changes now than they ever had coming up than what their plan was for the last 10 years. So that plan is not solid.
No, it's more solid, but they have their those solutions down, so kind of options that they're now doing environmental analysis on.
Would we be out of our, I guess our privilege, but to request after we kind of get closer to what we want to do here and talk to them, since this is what we're going to do, and see what they say relative to what their plan is, so that we don't find ourselves all sudden butting heads with them and in a position where we've lost another option because we went with this option.
This developer has had some meetings with you in relationship to not just this issue, but also how far they can have another entrance off a restricted highway. And so they've asked us to be supportive of a change there as well. Yes, you're right. This is
fluid. To do it.
This is fluid, but I don't see anything that would prohibit a viable economic activity occurring in this location, especially if there's a service station.
It's just something to think about.
The county would start a service station, maybe.
But the trade-offs, you've just got to weigh, you know. You've got to decide, is the economic revenue that this might generate, does it offset the additional traffic that will go up a rural road with mixed traffic, 35 miles an hour? There's no question, that's the shortest route to get back to heading to Danielson. If you're heading to the basin or whatever, going up Daniel is the fastest way. And then if they reroute one of those UDOT alternatives, pushes traffic back north and then routes them back, who in the right mind is going to go do that? No, they're going to say, man,
still,
this is slick.
But, or three goofy roundabouts might stop them.
But UDOT, they won't tell you, because I've been in a number of meetings, they won't tell you they're forcing traffic up 3,000 South. They have no design to do that. If it's by fiat, so be it. Because it's occurring now. A good share of the traffic we have on that road has nothing whatsoever to do with the town of Daniel. It's just, I found a faster way to get from point A to point B without hitting three separate stoplights. And on a long weekend, waiting up the canyon for a half an hour just so I can get to a turn signal. I mean, let's be honest. We have an issue already. Now, does this offset, does this benefit help us? And then remember the story about the fence on the mountain and the ambulance down in the valley? Can anybody remember that story? Hey, a town had a wonderful view off this cliff. And people came and for miles around it, look off the cliff, but they get so close that they fall down and many of them died. And so the town says, well, let's put up a fence. Oh, no. No, don't put up a fence. Well, it'll obstruct the view. Let's put an ambulance down in the valley. And we'll just pick up the bodies as they fall in the mountain. Well, we're kind of at that crossroads. Especially the residents of 3000 South, are you willing for some additional revenue and for some additional enhancement? And I agree with the mayor 100%. We're at an important crossroads. This is probably one of the most important decisions the town will make in a long time. And we better do it right. So are there opportunities to mitigate that traffic so that when they turn into that service station, they can't turn left and go up? Can we find solutions that might help and make this still? I don't know. But I do know, I agree with John. Because this can affect
affect your property value and your lifestyle for now on, if we do something that basically encourages, I'm not saying maximize it, but encourages trapping, how will that affect the rest of our lives as we try to live an agrarian lifestyle? And I feel it's important that we do this right. And I really echo what the mayor is saying. We have really got to dig in, but we've also got to know what, it's not just five people here. We got to know what the will of the people is on this particular issue, because I think it's salient and it's important. So I agree with John. I think we have really, if we hold a public hearing, which I'd support we do, because I think it's important we get this out on the table, discuss the pros and cons, and make a solemn life decision. But short of that, if it's just the five of us and a handful of people in this room making that choice, and then down the road somebody's going, what just happened? Well, I don't want that to be the case.
Okay. Anything else at all?
No, Mayor, sorry.
No, that was good. No, that was good. So I appreciate that.
Okay. So I know that you just rolled in then.
We thought it was at 7, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, you were early.
We showed up early so we could talk a little bit.
So we'll turn a little bit of time over to you right now to talk about anything that you'd like to talk about. We're not talking about the concept tonight. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about the zone change, and that's what's on here. So if you have any information or anything that you would like to talk about us going into a publicizing a public hearing for a zone change, we'll listen to what you have to say, but really no discussion about the concept tonight.
Great, thank you. Sorry again about our mix-up on the timing. On the zone change, on the commercial, we're good with the commercial. That accomplishes what we want to do. It works well with what our plan is. We submitted an alternative plan to what we'd originally submitted that works perfectly with commercial. Frankly, I'd had a couple questions from some staff about, well, are you gonna try to sneak in self-storage? No, that's not our intention. We're following the code. There also is a lot of backstops for the city as far as controlling use, as far as what's gonna happen with site plan and whatnot. Commercial works great with what we're trying to do. I think the current plan that you're looking at, and I had some feedback and some questions about traffic mitigation, but in general, that's the plan we would like to move forward with. We're excited to do it. We're excited for the opportunity, as we've talked with vendors, retailers, people that are interested in coming in, service station providers. We've had nothing but positive responses. And so, I frankly am really excited about it. So, and if you have any questions, I'd love to answer any.
I just have one, and it's come up here tonight. I'd like to know more about your exploration with UDOT in terms of how they view this intersection and its future. And secondly, I want to know if you would be interested in doing some type of an in-depth traffic analysis on this site prior to the adoption, so prior to the completion, so that we have as good as a pit snapshot of what we think traffic will do, not just based on our own intuition, but based on professionals who do this for a living. Would you be interested in that?
A traffic study. In fact, we've already engaged with Hales Engineering. So let me step back and answer the question with UDOT. I met with UDOT. It was part of another application that I'm working with, and I worked with the UDOT engineer. His name's Doug. He's very fair. He's very analytical, but in his mind, here's the deal. You need to have 1,000 feet from the interchange to where another access point is. And depending on how you measure it, we're between 900 and 960 feet, depending on where you measure the intersection. We don't fall in 1,000 square feet. 1,000 linear feet. However, I've done a lot of access permits and a lot of permits with UDOT. If I go in there myself, just myself with my plans, and say, this is what I want to do, Doug told me he's going to reject us. And he has no political agenda. He's very black and white. However, if I have the support of the city, the letter from the council, mayor, somebody who says, we believe, and I truly believe this, this isn't me trying to set this up. If we have a letter that says this would help with the safety of the city, for example, if you imagine most accidents occur at an intersection. And if we had an alternative exit out of Daniel from that edge on 89 where people could exit through this, I do believe it could help out the city in a safety sense. UDOT will listen to a city when a city makes a request for an exception. And I believe there's some grounds for that, and I had that in our written proposal that I would love for you to look at. And so I do know they'd say no if I went in right now, but with the city support, I think we might get a different from the regional engineer.
Is that a deal breaker for you if you can't get there?
It is extremely important. It's really important. I think it helps with the mitigation of traffic on 3000. I think it helps.
Oh, huge, I think.
I think if we said, hey, we want to, this road isn't made for this, you know, 3000, we want to move more people out. I think there's lots of positives that could come from it. In fact, I can't think of a single negative from the city. In my mind, I'm treating this as I think the city's going to want to support that with UDOT and could, you know, and
would it be a right hand only?
Yeah, they're not going to allow us to.
No, but I'm saying, so yeah, it's just an exit.
It'd be a right in and a right out. So it'd be a right in, right out. Okay. I don't think they'd ever let us do a left in there. I mean, just my experience.
No, I just want, it would just feed
correct
people out onto 89.
People could come in and then they could exit the same way.
Okay.
And so it's extremely important. I never say it's a deal breaker, everything's, you know, but in my mind it's really important. So that was your first question.
It does help considerably too with retail, as we're doing more retail further that direction, to be able to flow people in and out of that site without them having to go all the way back to the intersection, because it is a pretty long stretch.
And Hales Engineering, their engineer has been very successful in presenting and appealing. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to present, we're going to make the application, we're going to get denied at the local level, and then we're going to have to go to the regional engineer on an appeal, and that's where it's going to, who knows, they may change their mind on a local level, but that's not what typically has happened in my experience. They'll say no, we appeal, we go to the regional engineer who has a lot more discretion on what they can and can't do. That's what I think is going to happen. So it's going to take a few months to do it.
Dan, there's also the point that originally there was 1,000 feet there, but the current owner actually relinquished a portion of that in order for them to do that interchange. Otherwise, if he hadn't given that property to accommodate the interchange, it would be at 1,000 feet.
And there is an existing access, full service access right now, although for residential use. So there's a couple of main points. That's one of them, the full service access with the residential use. The fact that the city, in my opinion, it helps out the city for emergency egress if there is a problem at that intersection. I think there's lots of reasons to, but I can't do it. The city would really help out if they wrote a letter saying we want this as an access point. So they've generally really listened to the cities.
So you're comfortable that this site is every bit as viable, even with all the alternatives that UDOT is looking at, realign the traffic coming up Provo Canyon?
So the five alternatives that I've looked at, there's two that will actually be at this intersection at 3000 that could branch off to the north, and then there's two that come and bisect the airport. I think they call it Mid Valley Road, or I can't remember what they call it, and those are two intersections. If it goes to the Mid Valley Road, we're still relevant because we're one exit before. If they happen at this intersection at 3000, we become even better. So we don't want to be east or northeast of where those two planned proposals and the service station providers we've talked to, that's been all we've talked about. I talked to one of the board of directors at UDOT on what the plan is. board of director said, I don't know. No, he says, we've got some meetings planned, but nobody can say with authority, here's what the EIS said. And so it's going to be one of these potential routes. But either way, I'm excited because it either becomes the inner cross-section or it's the one right before. Either way, there's nothing that's going to happen at the airport if they bisect, well, I should say nothing. There'd be nothing happening on this side if they bisect the airport because you've got too much restrictions there with the airport stuff. So.
So is this going on the agenda or not?
Right, that's our decision right now.
Aren't you ready to make a motion?
Well, I'm going to make a motion, but it's going to get turned down. So one of you other guys make the motion and let's vote on it.
Let's go. Okay. Well, we have a recommendation from our planning commission.
Yeah.
We think that we've done all the analysis yet to be done, but they've done way more than I can't, in good conscience, look at this good planning commission we've got after the analysis they've done and not at least offer an opportunity for a public hearing. And then, John, you can go walk up and down Case Island South and get 300 people in the room and whatever. But I will make the motion that we set a public hearing to consider a zone change for the property mentioned on item 2 in our agenda at the intersection of Highway 189 and 3000 South. A zone change from RA5 to commercial.
Okay, second.
Wait, any discussion?
No, you have a second and then discussion.
Okay.
So there's my second, now my discussion. Gary, was your recommendation from planning to have us schedule a public hearing? Is that what the recommendation was?
No, our recommendation was to make the zone change to commercial. But in order for that to happen, there has to be a public hearing, and that is the council's decision.
Okay.
Once again, based on input from the public hearing.
Okay.
So what we're saying is we recommend that the council does it. Now it's time for the council to hold the public hearing, to do their due diligence, and decide whether that's a decision they want to make or not.
Okay.
But that's the decision that planning believes is the best in this situation.
Okay.
We have one comment back there.
Is there some kind of a concept drawing or whatnot that you guys have come up with?
Yes, I can email it to you. We've submitted a couple.
So we're not talking concept tonight.
Right.
We're talking, talking public
here. Just from my own thoughts. Just
yep.
My observation.
You can have mine.
We'll let you see one. But this is about the public hearing going to commercial. We've got a motion. We've got a second.
Okay. Keep my mouth shut.
We've got this. Is there any more discussion on the motion?
Can we set the date for our next meeting?
I think it's May 1st.
We didn't set the date, so let's decide the date. Is that our next meeting, May?
I think it's May 1st.
May 1.
Okay, May 1st.
Okay.
Can we add that to the motion?
Sure. Yes.
Are you okay with that?
Sure, yes. Second stance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is May 1st.
Okay.
So is that the public hearing?
That will be.
That is.
Yes.
So I'll call for a vote. Start it down.
Duggan, yes.
Blotter, no.
Kohler, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Very good. Let's go to item number 3. And this is a discussion about a recommendation from the Planning Commission to place a 4-month moratorium on all considerations of storage applications, storage sheds, storage applications for the town of Dayton. Gary, do you have any comment on that?
We've had a lot of requests, we've done some things. The code's unclear exactly how that should happen or shouldn't happen. And so we decided as a planning commission, we would like to suggest some changes to the code. And while we're working on that, we would like to have a moratorium on new applications until we get that.
Okay.
So are you looking at just certain areas or all of our zoning areas?
We're looking at all of them.
Including our A5?
Yes.
That, and that's a storage shed, right? Storage facilities.
It may not just be limited to sheds. It could be RV storage. It could be.
Correct.
Yeah.
Anything stored on a property that.
Okay. And we're limiting that. There's a difference between storage and warehousing. So you have a business, they have their materials that they're selling or using. We're not talking about that use. We're talking about, you know, we're renting storage to put our spare bedroom furniture that we're never going to use again.
Right.
And those kinds of things. You know, some public self-storage where there's a limited amount of commercial property in the town. How do we want to use it? And putting storage sheds on it does not benefit the town whatsoever. So how do we want to handle that?
Eric, do you know if we have a procedure that we need to do? Can we just make a motion and set a moratorium, or do we
just
need
set
to
a moratorium? Yeah.
Just like that? Just a
like
motion?
Yep. And Dave, you're asking for 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
There was one in, what, 2017? Is that, am I remembering right?
Moratorium?
Yeah, on consideration.
On what?
On consideration of storage, or am I thinking wrong? Okay.
I think we've done storage. We did it. We just did it on water hookups and stuff.
Oh, okay. Moratorium is in my head.
So. Just a point of clarification, though. This would not prohibit somebody from building a storage shed on their property.
Wrong.
This,
no.
This is.
No, we're talking.
But it might.
When you said storage shed, I just pointed.
Building a storage shed that they're going to rent to someone else. Yes.
Right.
A commercial.
We're putting a moratorium on commercial storage sheds.
Right. But if.
For 4 months until we redo the code.
Or outdoor storage, right?
Correct. Trailers. Like,
yeah,
you
well,
can't park
yeah.
your third cousin's trailer on your property and charge him rent to
okay.
store it
okay.
all. If you own the trailer, that's yours.
Because he's not going to pay you.
Or limit it while it's there.
I'd wait for John, but I mean, he's excused himself. So
okay.
I'm going to.
I make a motion that we
establish?
Establish a four-month moratorium on consideration of storage applications. Tell the town of Daniel fix its zoning.
The
code.
The code.
The code. Okay. I'll call for a second.
Second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Aye, yes.
Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 4, Planning Commission update. You got anything else, Gary, to update us on?
Those were the main things. We may start looking at some other parts of the code also. It's just this one came up, but there are a lot of things that are unclear that we'd like to work on. Unfortunately, it's not really easy to make it any clearer. We had a good meeting in the last one, but there's a lot of discussion on how you word it, and you know, it's tough. And then of course, as best as we do, then the attorneys may have another idea, so you know, but there's some things we can work on.
Gary, I want to thank you for the work that the Planning Commission's doing. I know we've had a couple of working meetings scheduled, and we appreciate the time that you're spending in looking at the codes and the ordinances and updating them. I really appreciate that.
Hopefully we can look forward and stop. I mean, make it so that people can use their property as they need to, but without affecting others, and you know, clearing things up so that everybody's treated fairly and equally, because I interpret it this way this year, and I've forgotten it now next year, you know, because it's not clear, and we're not being fair, so. It's just an attempt to clarify things.
Before Jill,
You what?
Yes, also.
I was just wondering, so what exactly are you, what are they talking about, the storage sheds? Is there somebody who wants to do that?
There's a lot of that because people can make a lot of money. Heber has basically made it possible
Everybody
to build them.
Sheds.
So now let's build them other places. And so, you know, we just want to make sure that it's clear that the town gets absolutely no revenue for it. It doesn't add to the...
How come do we not get sales tax?
Because they don't charge, the state doesn't require sales tax to be charged on rentals for the storage units.
Okay, I didn't know that. Well, also, the gas station thing. So how do you find out how much the gas station would...
You can do forecasts based on, they do traffic analysis based on similar kinds of intersections, amount of gallons pumped, and then you can kind of guesstimate. So people do analysis like that for a living.
Okay.
And they hire people like that to come in and say, here's the number of vehicles passing by this location. If it's this kind of service station and convenience store, here's a roundabout number of how much revenue you can anticipate.
Before someone's going to go invest several million dollars in a gas station, they want to know whether they can make money or not. And so from that, we can then infer how much sales tax would come from that.
So and if you were to draw the way that it's in my head, does that mean that they would come from the light?
That would be the entrance to the turning on 3000 South would be the entrance into the convenience store / gas station.
Yeah. So would they be able to go this way? Is that what you're trying to avoid?
What we're saying when they exit.
That they have to exit out on 189?
We'd like them to be a right turn only kind of an approach.
How much do you want to
So it would, because it would be
I
really
know, I
dangerous
really
for
quick.
Them to come
well,
this
I,
way back.
I mean, we've been going about three of them, so
okay.
This was a question brought up. Jill, you can have that. That's my copy.
Well, I don't need to have it. I just wanted to see in my
And you can look at it, and I'll pick it up from you in a couple of days when I swing.
I have an extra.
When I swing by your house.
Okay, so the entry would be down 3,000. So you don't think people would try to go out that way and down?
Well,
that's outdated, by the way.
Yeah, you guys can keep going. I'll talk to her.
Wait, Gary.
So let Robin.
I have one other comment regarding planning commission. In our code, does it specifically say, not related to health, the Department of Health, or anything else, does it specifically say that ancillary buildings or ancillary units moved on, people cannot live in them for longer than a certain period of time? I think our code needs to state that.
It does.
In support of the...
It does, other than what the state did last year, where they can have a residence, but our code already had that in there. And so there are some requirements. They have to enter through the same entrance as the main residence. It has to be attached to the main residence. But other than that, yeah, there is.
So you feel the language is strong enough so that when people are camping next to their son-in-law's house and living there, then they're in violation of our code.
Yeah.
Not just the health department where you don't have the sewer outlet or whatever.
Well, all that ties into being the nuisance, so that's where you're going.
Do I like it?
So it's sufficiently defined that we could go in right now and tell somebody who's living in a travel trailer next to their in-laws that they're in violation of
our code.
And if we let them live there,
this is the type of travel.
What is the consequence? If we do nothing,
somebody could sue you to make you do something in your code, you have to enforce it. But if you choose not to enforce it, there's nothing.
Then the next time somebody does it, and we haven't enforced our code, then basically what we're really doing is eroding the value of having the code in the code.
Well, the code speaks to that just because it's happened doesn't give, still against the law. Still a Class C misdemeanor for every day it happens. You still have that, even though you haven't, if you chose not to do this person, but you went after that person, that doesn't, it's no bearing on the case.
I understand, but if they take you to court, and then they say, wait a minute, you're being selective in your enforcement, then that does water down our...
I don't think it does. I think our code speaks to that very well.
Well, then, how can we be so two-faced? That we just, the people we like, we let them do it, and the people we don't, we just turn our head.
That's totally, you can't, that's why you're on the council.
If I'm an attorney, I think I've won the case right there.
Well, I think, like we're talking though too, Robin, it is specific, but it's gonna become more specific, and then we'll have to enforce our code.
That's what I'm hoping, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because I think this selective enforcement really, really puts the town in a very, very difficult position.
I agree. Okay, so, we're on to agenda item number five, council reports. Gary, thank you. Do you have anything else? Okay, council reports.
Everybody that, not to be on a foreign planet to know, we're gonna get flooding in the town. We just don't. And so I would really like to know...
70 next Tuesday.
Like to know that this town council has analyzed this, and we're doing everything that we possibly can to prevent the destruction of property and to protect our town. And so, I mean, we're gonna have some flooding, and we need to probably be a little more proactive on part of the town.
Stormhaven apparently has scheduled some kind of a neighborhood thing on the 15th.
I'm excited to hear that.
For the 15th, I hope people will show up for it, but they were asking for people with equipment.
Yeah, we need people with equipment. We need people to walk the creek and help.
But not until April 15th, you know, so...
I think it's gonna get hot this weekend.
We could have flooding before that. So I guess, as this member of the town council, I'm losing a little bit of sleep right now.
I bet.
Because I remember years gone by when the creek completely left its banks and flooded a lot of area and damaged a lot of property. And A, do we have some sandbags stockpiled? Do we have some equipment operators identified that would, on a moment's notice, we could call into service? Those are the kinds of things I'd really like to see us be proactive on.
So Robin, just a brief comment. I was talking to Ryan Taylor a few weeks ago, and Ryan said when the bridges and stuff in Stormhaven washed out a few years ago, right, when they put them back in, they increased the culvert size, and they also engineered a, what they call a flow over type of a
bridge.
And where the water
cascade over
will cascade over the top of it, and the bridge in theory should still stay intact, but that obviously depends on the debris and stuff that's in there clogging it up. Ryan told me that he was gonna talk to Chip Turner. Chip's got an old backhoe that Chip used to let him have up there and leave up there that Ryan can operate.
Sweet.
And he was going to reach out to Chip and see if Chip would allow him to put that up there so that he can keep cleaning the debris out in front of that. I've driven around a little bit. Little Sweden, the ditch on Little Sweden Road has quite a bit of garbage in it, quite a bit of just broken down trees. Me and Logan and I'll contact a few other people, but I was gonna drive up there with my dump trailer up Little Sweden and just clean the sticks and the debris out and throw them in the dump trailer and just get them out of the way. And we'll get that done this week.
But you don't have to do that.
Where does that ditch empty now?
Well, so I've seen it kind of diverts right there by Roger Pearson's house and drops back into the ditch behind Pearson's.
and then it runs down in front of Todd and Jill's, and to be honest, I haven't really seen where it goes through Ellis's property. I don't know where it goes from there, but...
It goes through Ellis's, and then...
Down through...
Down along the side of where Carol Bates lived.
Okay, and does it go into Jack Rose's?
And then it, no, well, it might come between Jack, I'm not sure exactly where it goes there.
And draws down, back down.
And then it hits Big Hollow, makes a left turn, and there's a way it can get back to Daniels Creek, or it can go down between me and Mike Ashby. And it used to go, continue on down, but it ends down by John Neff's house now. When they put the gas line in, the ditch got buried in.
Okay, a lot of the ditches have been buried in.
And so, when Pulvorty's got the permit for their barn, what I heard is the irrigation company said they don't care about it anymore, so he can fill it in.
Well...
So I'm just saying, we gotta be careful if we send water down that ditch, that it actually has a place to...
Well, there's water going down it right now, not a lot, but there is.
You may not have any choice in terms of when you send the water, it's going to go...
I agree, and I'm happy about that ditch between me and Mike, because that's 6 feet deep and 6 feet wide, and it would carry a lot of water.
Yes.
John, just a brief comment.
Yeah, just, Ryan Taylor's health concerns, is someone else to run the backhoe?
I'll get a hold of Ryan this week and talk to him and touch bases with him, but there's multiple people in the town of Daniel.
Todd Wall.
Yeah, Todd Wall, Rob Armstrong, I've talked to Rob, he's got a backhoe. There's two or three other people that have backhoes in the town, and I think if we gave them a call, I'm pretty sure that we could get some help from them, and a couple of them I'll talk to. I see Rob every day, so Rob and I pretty much will communicate on a daily basis, and he's more than willing to help out.
So, yeah, that's all my concern about Ryan.
Yep.
And Jack Rose says that there are some 36-inch plus diameter cottonwoods in Daniels Creek through Ellis's place that are blocking it.
Wow.
It could be a problem.
Well, we can get down, like I say, we'll get down in there and cut out what we need to cut out.
You mean in the back?
I did talk to Hugh Barker, by the way, about this, and he basically told me what Robin just confirmed is that years ago they used to maintain the irrigation ditches and stuff, but they don't do that anymore. It's the homeowner's responsibility to take care of the ditch in front of their house and the fire mitigation and stuff